Mr. King, real one. When were you born, Mr. King?
I was born on the 16th of May, 1919.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I had three sisters and one brother.
And whereabouts in that family did you come?
I was the youngest.
Your father, what did he do for a living?
My father was an ex-police constable in the first place, and then started as an electrical fitter at boarding at Bankford Corridor in Crook. Did you? Police family, my grandfather was a police sergeant in West Auckland. My father was in the police force. I had uncles all in the police force. So it was a sort of a respectable background, I suppose. You know, law-abiding background that we had.
Was it a comfortable upbringing? Did you have plenty of, you know, sufficient money?
Oh, no. We lived in a council house in Crook. My father always worked, mind. But I don't suppose we had any money to sort of throw away, you know. In fact, I can't remember my mother and father ever having a holiday together.
What kind of an area was Crook?
Oh, Crook was quite as far as I remember, Crook was quite a happy place. Everyone seemed to be working. You know, the works at Bankford kept a lot of people going. And, of course, the local pits were all in production there. Excepting that during the 1926 strike, you know, I can remember going to the soup kitchens in Crook, at Crook School actually, and I can remember going there. But that's not very vivid in my imagination actually, but I can just remember going to the soup kitchens.
Were people very helpful towards each other, neighbours,
yes. No question about that. You could leave your doors open, there was no question of theft. You know, you weren't bothered about going to bed at night and leaving your back door open, but, you know, can't remember any. I mean, the main thing I remember then was that there was a murder in Crook of the Wales family, and it was, you know, I think there'd been a national outcry, you know, that there'd been such a thing happened in Crook, of course. It was the talk of the place, actually, you know, everybody was really concerned about this awful murder.
So it was a closely knit community?
Oh, yes, no doubt about that, yeah.
Did the church play any role in your family life?
Oh, yes, my mother was a key church goer, and I was in the church as of the year, actually.
We'll come to that in just a moment. So you say your mother, what about your father? Did he attend church?
Oh, yes, he went, but not occasionally. He was a really upright man, of course, as far as his convictions were concerned.
What was the main occupation, working occupation of the inhabitants of Crook? Was it all centred around the works?
The pits, of course, you know, Bankford Colliery. And Bransford Colliery, of course, was going very strongly then. And that's my recollection. Most people worked down the pit. I can remember all the loads of coal being dumped, you know, every day around the, you know, around the area. As part of the wages, of course, and in fact, as a kid, we used to get sixpence for putting the coal in. At least not when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, you know, that was about the going rate. And you used to get if your father didn't get coal, of course, we used to get the small, what they call the small coal. Just used to put the roundies in, as they call them. And you can keep the small coal for yourself, you know. So that's how people sort of helped themselves, you know, helped each other. People that didn't get the coal, they used to get the small coal off the people that did, you know.
We mentioned the church. Which church was it that your mother attended?
Catherine's Church at Crookley.
Public houses, they tend to be quite profuse in villages.
Any amount of pubs. I mean, could have pub on every corner, of course.
Did your father attend the pubs?
He wasn't a heavy drinker, just an occasional drinker, a social drinker, really, you know. Just used to go to the, I think he was just addicted to the one pub, you know, he just used to go to one of the Vaux's house in Commercial Street in Crook. But not very often, of course. He wasn't a heavy drinker at all, of course. Just as a social drinker, yeah. Of course, he worked shifts, so the times were limited when he could go out for a drink, I suppose, you know. So he used to work three shift systems. 6 to 2, total 10, 10 to 6. And he used to have to walk to work up to Monkfoot, of course, you know.
Had he served in the First World War?
No. I had an uncle who served in the First World War. In fact, I have his medals. He served in the Australian Army, and I've got his Australian Army medals. What happened, of course, is that they lived in West Auckland. That was my grandfather's family, of course, my maternal grandfather's family. And he sadly put a girl wrong in the village. And at those days, of course, it was, he left the village, of course, that was it. So they shipped him off to Australia. And as a result of that, he must have been in Australia when the war started. And he was called up into the Australian Army. And as I say, he survived the war. And I've got all his medals.
The house that you lived in, can you describe it?
Yes, it was a three-bedroom house. Just one very small back bedroom that my brother and I slept in. My mother and father had one bedroom, of course. The three girls slept in the bigger bedroom. And my brother and I slept in the small back room. And it had a sitting room. It was rather, I suppose, they were rather posh council houses then, you know, as far as council houses go. And it was called West End Villas, actually. There was West End Villas and South End Villas. We lived in West End Villas. They were a concrete blocked house, made out of concrete blocks and then roof cast on the outside. And it was nice. Everybody seemed to do the garden. Everybody was sort of really proud of the houses then, of course. And it was quite pleasant for me. I had quite a nice, good upbringing as far as, a happy upbringing as far as living there was concerned. Yeah. Because I was going to school at that time, you know, around about, I can't remember the great day, prior to going to school, naturally, but.
Did you have an allotment?
No, we just had the front and back gardens. But my father kept the front garden for flowers and the back garden for vegetables, of course. Because it was a corner house, actually. It had rather a large garden, around the outside.
You're quite a large family, as you say, three girls and two boys, mm-hmm. So that clothing and that kind of thing must have been difficult for your parents to find.
Was it a passing down
situation?
I think so, yes. Although my two sisters both worked, they went to place, what they call went to place then. And all but my younger sister, she worked in the chemists in Crook, actually. But my other two sisters, one worked for the Duke of Northumberland at Annick Castle, and the other one worked down south somewhere.
Did they send part of their earnings home to your parents?
I wouldn't have thought. I don't know. I wouldn't have thought. Yeah, I don't think they got plenty of money to do that. It was just the done thing that the girls went away to places, as they call it, yeah.
growing up in that community, what were the kind of activities did you get up to as a child?
Well, it was all sort of outside games, you know, kick the tin, and as we call it, used to kick the tin and knocking in iron doors. I think that's what they call it. And all just sort of childish games, you know. But at that time, all the seasons used to come round. There was like the top of the whip season and the flight of kite season, and everybody used to, you know, one week everybody was playing top and whip, and the next week they were all playing marbles or something like that, you know. It seemed to just come out in sort of rotation through the year. Kite we used to play, you know, make our own kites, of course, and used to play football on the rec. You know, that was the main occupation of the lads, of course. We all used to play football on the rec in our big boats. So.
That was the recreation ground?
Yeah, it was in the middle. It was the housing estate. It was in built around a square. And right in the middle was what they called the rec. It was just grass, of course. Just rough grass, of course. It met as well. It wasn't cut. You know, nobody seemed to cut it, but I think it was just kept down by the wear and tear of the kids running around on it.
As Crook is in a rural area, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The countryside wasn't far away from
it. Oh, no. Well, what we used to do in the summer, of course, we used to go swimming in the weir at Arbley or at Witten. And we used to take a bottle of water and just walk to, you know, either Harpy or Witten, build a fire and swim and then walk back home, you know. It was just a done thing that there was no sort of thought of catching the bus. There wasn't any buses anyway, I can't remember any buses to Witten anyway, but everybody just seemed to be happy doing that, you know. You just didn't think anything about it, you know. As kids, we seemed to be always walking to Harpley or to Witten, in the summer holidays especially, you know.
What was the discipline like in your family?
Oh, very strong. My father was a very strong disciplinarian. I can remember him waiting for my sister coming out of a dance, and he told her to be in by 10 o'clock, I think, and she was late. She would be much late now, about 10 past half 10. And oh, he really got annoyed, waited for her, you know. Sort of sent her packing up the main, up the street in front of everybody else, you know. And I suppose he humiliated me in that sense. But when he said, you're there, you know, 10 o'clock, you had to be there, of course, there was no question. He was a fellow that was always on time. Never knew him be late for anything. You know, he would set up half an hour early just to make sure he wasn't late, you know. And yeah, I suppose that's was sort of being drilled into us, that because I think I've taken after it. You know, it's very, very rarely I'm late for anywhere, you know. If I say I'll be on time, I'm on time, you know.
Your mother's personality, was that equally strong?
Oh, yes. My mother was a very, very strong personality. Always liked dressing in. She was a person that, if she went down to the shops, lots of women sort of put a coat on over the pinnies, I suppose, you know. But my mother would never do that. Always got dressed, always had a hat on. And, always very smart. Always a very smart woman. And very, very outgoing. Very, kept a youth right up to her old age, actually. You know, very, very young person in her outlook.
Other than timekeeping, which you've mentioned, what would you say were the lessons that your parents chiefly taught you?
Yeah, I would suppose that I think to some of you have to be a good citizen, I think. You know, always try to respect everybody and to respect others and listen to what other people have to say. And just generally to be, as I said, be a good citizen, I suppose.
respecting your elders was very strong.
Yes. I think that was one of the main themes that taught you to be respectful to everybody, to be honest.
Could you afford an annual holiday, or did you get an annual holiday?
I can never remember my mother and father ever going away. And I can never remember going anywhere. When I was younger, you know, before I joined the army, I don't think I was ever away. No, never got holidays.
Were there any special occasions that you particularly look forward to?
And now you mean?
At that time.
Oh, at that time.
As a child.
No, not really, yes. I don't think there was sort of birthdays might have been outstanding, I suppose, but I can't remember ever having. I can only ever remember having one birthday as a celebration, that is, and that was my 21st. And I had, I think maybe you had four or five lads there with their girlfriends. And we just had it at home in West End Village.
At what age did you start school?
I started school at five, yeah.
Oh, which was your first school?
Crook School, yeah. I went to Crook School all the time. Never moved away from Crook School, actually. Went through the journeys, never been to what they call the higher tops. You couldn't get in. I failed the 11 plus. At least I passed the 11 plus, which might sound another thing to say, but my father and mother couldn't afford to send me to Walsingham. Went to Walsingham Grammar School, and I remember going to the final interview, and I always remember this. He said to the headmaster, Mr. said to me, "What does your father do?" And I said he was a fitter, electrician fitter at the college, and that seemed to be the end of it somehow, you know. Because when I came back home, my father said, "Well, it's no good going there, you know, because we can't afford to pay you, you know, to pay the uniform, I suppose, you have a uniform there." And so I didn't get there, but at school, at Crook School, they had what they call the higher tops, so that at 40 you couldn't get any further once you passed 11 plus, I suppose, and you went into this sort of a top class for 2 years. You stopped in what they call the higher tops, and I stopped in the same class for 2 years. Lowther Boyne was the teacher, I remember, at Cook, and a lad called Venn. I think he landed up in the Durham's. He was the French teacher. Because I always remember I was always taught for French.
So you had a language taught to you at...
French, I learned French, yeah. I would think it would be very elementary French, to be honest, you know, yes, we did learn French, yeah.
What are the memories of your school, the sporting side of the school life?
Well, I never graduated to the sort of the school team or anything like that, but every week they used to play football, you know, supervised games and just played football, you know, that's about the only... I was never really interested in cricket, somehow. So I just sort of played football, during the accredited times, you know.
What was your favourite subject?
I always liked running, actually. And I used to pride myself I was a good runner. And in fact, it proved that I could have been a good runner, because when I did join the army at Bransford, they had a mile race. In fact, I won it, and I got a
a weekend pass for winning the mile race, actually. So, the undiscovered talent might have been there, I don't know.
I was asking you, what was your favourite subject, or subjects?
I used to like, as they called writing, I used to like writing essays and that sort of thing. Geography, I used to like geography. I was never really happy with maths. I got through them all right, but I was never keen on maths, actually. But anything else, I used to... I suppose I was always maybe about out of a class of what, 32, it'd be about 32 in the class, I suppose. Maybe be about 10th or something like that. I was never sort of academically brilliant, but, held my own, of course, I suppose, yeah.
Did you think that the education that you got was good, adequate?
Well, I thought it was very, very adequate. We had some damn good teachers, I thought.
Remembering them?
Dedicated them, because I remember one or two other teachers, a chap called Bullman. I remember mostly in the higher tops, when I was in the higher tops, of course. A chap called Blair, Freddie Blair, in Crook. He was sort of, class five, before you got into the higher tops. He was a sort of belligerent sort of fellow, I think. One of these sort of cuffed you up the hair was if you didn't do right, you know. And then when you got to the higher tops, a chap called Whittle, Tommy Whittle, he was the, he taught in one of the classes. And his wife was, a school teacher as well. And Lowther Burnett was the one that had my most interest, because he was sort of, I was in his class for 2 years, you know.
Did any of teachers influence your life at all?
Well, I think Lowther Burnett mostly, I think, because I think I took a lot more notice of Burnett than anybody else, I suppose, you know. He's a more understanding, I think. He was a more understanding teacher than the others. You know, I think the others, some of the others were sort of 9-to-4 men, and he was, I think he carried his interests further through, I think, you know.
What was the discipline in the school like?
Oh, the discipline was hard, yeah. But nothing of getting the cane, of course. I mean, that was just an accepted thing that... if you did wrong, you got the stick, and that was it. I can remember bigger lads, you know, bigger lads. I remember a lad called Dawson, he was like a really house end, and I can remember him, you know, basically putting his hand out and getting the stick, you know, and just accepting it, you know. Of course, I think it was a different thing then. I remember when I was 14, still having short trousers, you know. I mean, everybody, I think this lad, Dawson, I was telling this big chap called Dawson, remember him having short trousers, you know, and it was sort of an occasion when you got long trousers, I suppose. After you left school, when you left school, that was your first entry into long trousers, I think.
Did you go home for your lunch or stay at school?
I went there for lunch. I think very, very few people stayed at school. Of course, there was no school dinners then, of course. You just had to take their own. I mean, people that lived out in outlying places, I suppose, used to take a packed lunch and stay at school, but I just used to go home. But just about... 10 minutes walk, maybe less than that, I suppose, when if you look back in retrospect, maybe. It would take me 10 minutes now, I suppose.
You left school at what age? At what year would that be?
We're 19,
that would be your work there, 34.
Did you start work immediately?
Started work straight away.
How did you get that job?
I'll tell you what, how the first job I ever had was selling ice cream. And I worked for a lad called, well, they still have the work, no, they just finished with the fire with the shop. A lad called Jimmy Rinaldi. And he had a little barrow, like a sort of a square box-like barrow, and the freezer was in the middle. And you used to pull this barrow around the bloody street, so mine, I wasn't on very long. My mother didn't like that. She didn't ask him, but she thought I was demeaning the family selling ice cream. But that's it, you couldn't get any other job, you know.
What were the hours that you worked?
Oh, I think I worked all hours then, of course. Why sell it? You know, in the summer, you had to be out there all the time, you know.
What wage? What was your first wage?
Couldn't remember. It wouldn't be very much, maybe about 5 shillings or something like that. You know. Then my brother was a bricklayer, and they started building council houses in Towlaw and Roddymower and Foundry Fields in Crook. And he got me the job, of course, as an apprentice bricklayer, working for a firm called Thornton's from Stockton, who were building houses in Foundry Fields in Crook. And there were two of us, I remember, started work at the same time, a lad called Geordie Buckle, who ended up in the Durhams, actually. Oddly enough, his father was the undertaker at Willington, and we started the same day. And the very first job, there was no tuition or anything. My brother gave me an old trowel, and Geordie had a trowel, and we were shown how to, well, I'm saying we were shown, but just a very limited time, maybe about 10 minutes, how to build dwarf walls in the foundations. And that's what we did. That was the very first experience I had of laying bricks. And, of course, carried on from there. Moved from Foundry Fields job when that was finished. Then moved up to Roddymower when they started building there. That was for another firm. That was Thorne of Willington, actually a local firm who built those. And then we moved up to Towlaw and built the council houses in Towlaw. And by then, my brother had moved on and had got a job in York and sent for me to go down to York. And we built the barracks, helped build the barracks at Strensham in York. And thing I remember about that, I was getting, I think, about 5.8p an hour when I worked for Thorns at Towlaw. Moved down to Strensham, and it was Douglas of Darling that were building there. And I got a massive increase up to about, well, I think it must have been about 11.8p or something like that. I almost doubled the money, as they say.
How many hours did you work in a week?
Well, it'd be 46 hours then. Because you worked Saturday morning, of course.